Can we pretend that from now on there is no yesterday? Paint a portrait of tomorrow with no colors from today. There's a light that shines in your face sometimes that takes my feelings, wraps them around your knees. But there's a shadow that makes my feelings turn back in on me.
I wanted to share a story about the time I interviewed Bill Withers back in 2015. You know, I've done probably hundreds of interviews in my life, many of them with heroes of mine. But there's only one that I really, really wish I could do over again. Even though, as it was happening, I knew in that moment I would never get another shot at it. And that was my interview with Bill Withers, one of the greatest songwriters of all time, and a notorious recluse. He retired from music in the mid-80s for no reason other than he wanted to focus on being a good husband and father. He didn't have this undying thirst for success and fame. He'd written the songs he wanted to write, and he was good with what he had. And I respect that so, so much. I think a lot of people don't know when to quit. Or maybe they do know, but pride or their ego gets in the way. And that ends up ruining things in one way or another. So, the story is, I knew I was going to film his keynote talk at the ASCAP Songwriters Conference in Los Angeles. I was filming it for OK Player, which is Questlove and The Roots website. It's a website that a lot of people would say laid the blueprint for online discourse. And some of those same people might also tell you that the OK Player message boards were basically Twitter a full 10 years before Twitter even existed. So he got up there, he did his talk, Aloe Black was the moderator. And after the talk, I was taken to this kind of like VIP lounge, I'm doing air quotes, VIP lounge, for the conference's special guests. And while I was back there, I believe I got to speak a little bit with Aloe Black. One of the organizers of the conference said, "Would you like to interview Bill?" And obviously you can't say no to that, so I said, "Yes, absolutely." But the only problem was I was completely unprepared. I didn't expect that I was going to have to interview him that day, so I didn't. Usually, you know, when I do an interview, I take extensive notes, I come up with questions, I think about how to set the sails for the flow of the conversation. I didn't have a chance to do any of that. And on top of that, this wasn't just like some random famous person. This was an artist whose music I love so, so much. Beyond just the hits, he has an album called Justments. And to me, that's one of the greatest albums of all time, despite it not having any of his like mainstream pop hits. If you really want to know Bill Withers, play that album. It's called Justments. Anyway, when Bill was kind of like ushered over to me, I froze. And I'd never done that before. Like, I've been with artists of all, you know, big, whoever, you know, you name it, A-list, not just music, like, and I've never frozen or been weird or awkward. And I think part of it was the environment. I was in a loud room that was full of schmoozers and clout chasers, and I was already feeling like an artist of his caliber deserved a way better setting for an interview. And also I was thinking, like, there's going to be a bunch of people talking in the background of my interview with Bill fucking Withers, you know what I mean? So I was already rattled. And with all those thoughts swirling in my head, it was hard for me to think of questions on the spot. And then there he was, before I knew it, standing in front of me, looking as handsome as he was the day he made his first song. And I froze up. I've never been, like I said, the kind of person that gets starstruck. But this wasn't being starstruck. This was like something deeper. Bill spoke in this soft voice that kind of forced you to lean in. And it was also almost like a power move. Like when because he spoke at such a soft voice, it forced you to really, really listen to what he was saying. And, you know, to be honest, he deserves that respect anyway, so I'm not mad about it. But again, this was something deeper than being starstruck. He never broke eye contact with me. It was like when he was looking at me, it was like he could see deep into my soul and know exactly what kind of person I was, maybe better than I knew myself. It was like he could see all my greatest successes, but also all of my most embarrassing mistakes and failures. And I was thinking about that while having to hold a camera and make sure he was in the frame. So it was really all a blur to me. And so I fumbled my way through some questions, thanked him for his time, and we snapped a picture, and then he vanished off into the sunset. And I was kind of left standing there with my friend Andrew, who was my second camera guy. I was just kind of left being like, what just happened? Like, excited, honored, and kind of ashamed at the same time. Like, wow, I interviewed Bill Withers, but also, man, that sucked so much. Yeah, and I knew because he never did interviews, I think that was 2015. I think the last time he did an interview before that was like 2007. And he only did one other interview between mine and the day he passed away, which was in the spring of 2020. He was 81. You know, I am really grateful that I had the chance to speak with him. Something that I learned from him in the time that I got to be around him is that things don't have to be complex to be great or to be brilliant. Sometimes simplicity is the best way to communicate a message, is the brilliant way to do it. And I've kind of carried that lesson with me as I've gotten older, just to make things as simple as possible. But yeah, I'm so grateful I had that time with him. You know, I also learned humility from him. He is a legend, but he only ever wanted to be a human. He never wanted to be anything more than that. He didn't want big fame and the bright lights and all this stuff. I really, really respect that about him. So even though I sadly couldn't give him my best that day, he still left me, and anyone who's listening to this, with a lot of gems, which I'll share with you all here. And I hope that you'll find some wisdom and some comfort in his words, because I know I did. You know, I didn't listen to that interview for many years because I was so ashamed of it. But then I went back and listened. I was like, oh, you know what? Bill, he actually said some good things here, and it was definitely all him. I can't take any credit for that. So thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill, for your time. Thinking of you always up there in the sky. Yeah, here's my interview with Bill Withers in 2015.
I told you. A lot of stuff I don't want to know. I don't want to mess it up, you know.
Yeah.
If you know where everything comes from, you know.
It ruins the magic.
Yeah. Listening to your own songs is like walking around with a mirror in front of you. It's like driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. It's not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Father Time is undefeated. We will all lose that battle.
If you look at the cover for Adjustments, my favorite album of his, you'll notice that it's a picture of Bill writing something, and superimposed over the image is something written. And I never thought to look at what it was for years after I met him. But then one day, I looked it up, and I'll read to you what it says. It's something that I come back to in especially the tougher moments of life, but in the lighter moments too. Bill wrote, "Life, like most precious gifts, gives us the responsibility of upkeep. We are given the responsibility of arranging our own spaces to best benefit our survival. We have the choice of believing or not believing in things like God, friendship, marriage, love, lust, or any number of simple but complicated things. We will make some mistakes, both in judgment and in fact. We will help some situations and hurt some situations. We will help some people and hurt some people, and be left to live with it either way. We must then make some adjustments, or as the old people back home call them, adjustments." So I come back to this every now and then and think about the situations I've helped, situations I've hurt, the people I've helped and hurt, and try to reflect on what adjustments have I made since then? How have I grown? You know, I think life and friendships and relationships are interesting because no matter how short or long they last, and maybe they last forever, which is always nice, we take pieces of those people with us, and it could be the smallest thing. It could be the way they inflect a certain word. It could be a certain mannerism. These little things, sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's sayings, sometimes it's an outlook on life. But each of these things are kind of like a sweet little tribute to that person and the time we had with them. And it's especially sweet if it's someone who's no longer with us. You know, we keep their spirit alive through us. They literally live through us in these little things of theirs that we carry with us. And I sometimes think those are some of the adjustments Bill was talking about. That, sometimes, to benefit our survival, we carry the best of people who have impacted us. We carry the best of them with us. So I want to just keep the campfire going, and as the fire burns, I want to let y'all think about who are those people in your life, and what are those things of theirs that you carry with you? What are the ways that you honor them in your life now? Even if they're no longer part of it? Or maybe even if they are, what are those things? Yeah. Think about it and let me know.